stuff, I guess.
All right, it's on.
Okay. Freda, the first area I would like to talk with you about, if you can remember anything about your grandparents. Where did they grow up? Do you know?
My grandfather was from right here in Fernandina.
Okay.
And my grandmother was, this is on my mother's side.
Okay.
My grandmother was from St. Mary's,
okay.
Georgia.
Okay.
And, oh boy, we called them Mama and Papa.
Okay.
We didn't call them. Now, our mother and father, my mother's name was Mary Cornelia, but we called everybody, Daddy and all of them, was saying Nella, and her sisters and brothers calling her Nella.
Okay.
I was the oldest child, so I started calling her Nella, and the rest of the children, all except my baby brother, called her Mama.
Isn't that wonderful?
And we called Daddy, Daddy.
Okay, okay.
And Daddy was born in Fernandina.
Do you have any idea roughly when they might have been born, just roughly?
I have the paper.
Do you have
the paper?
I have
the paper.
Okay.
Daddy was born in 1890.
1890.
Daddy was born in 1890, December 23rd, died May 31st, 1943, at the age of 52.
Okay.
And my mother was born January 30th, 1894, died September 25th, 1972, at the age of 78.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, now... Now, do you happen to have, now that's your mother and father, but...
That's right.
Do you happen to know the ages of your grandparents, when they might have been born?
I can't tell you. He died in 1935. Her father died in 1935, and he was 73 years old when he died.
Okay.
Her mother, what year did Mama die? Oh, was it 49 or 50? And she was 78 when she died.
Okay, now she's the one from St. Mary's.
From
St. Right?
Mary's.
And he was born right here.
In Fernandina.
Okay,
that's right.
All right, let's see.
And see, my daddy's mother was from St. Mary's too.
Okay.
And she died at the age of, when I was just 1 year old, I didn't know her, but she died when, at the age of 42.
Okay, okay.
And his father, when was it? We called him, I started calling him Frank Papa, my daddy's father. And he, what was that, 56, I think, when he died. Anyway, he was 93 when he died.
Isn't that a rich, wonderful life?
And he used to tell us, he said, I'm not going to die because they want me to.
Now, here's a good question for you. It helps me reach back. Do you remember any of your grandparents ever talking about the Civil War?
Oh, yes, and my mother was a little thing when they had a war here. And she said, she remembered the soldiers and the people in old time used to be selling little pies and things, and they were children. They'd say, soldiers, do you want to buy a pie? And see, and we used to go to the fort, after everything was cleared out, and from old time side, but now you have to pay
to get in. Now, you mentioned, I mentioned the Civil War and selling the pies, but was there another war in here somewhere?
The Spanish-American War, wasn't it?
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, during the Spanish-American War. Okay.
That's the one my mother...
Okay.
The Spanish-American War.
Okay, good. Now, thank you for that. Do you ever remember discussions about your grandparents talking about the Civil War?
No,
That goes a little bit too far back. Okay. Did either of your grandfathers serve during the Spanish-American War?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. All right. Okay. What interesting memories do you have about your grandparents?
They were lovable people, and we just cherished them. And, I mean, they were just nice people.
Uh-huh.
And... We just everything, we just went to them.
Okay.
If you run away from home and go around the corner to them, and I would go around there and spend the night, and I didn't have a telephone. I'd yell back to my mother that I was going to stay around there the night. She would yell back, okay.
How did they earn, how did your grandparents earn a living, your grandfather?
Well, my grandfather, he used to cook at one time at the Thatcher's and thing, and on boats, government boats and thing. And then later years, he was a watchman at the Pogie plant.
Okay.
And my mother, she...
How do you spell Pogie?
P-O-R-G-Y.
P-O-R-G-Y, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And so that was...
That was hard work, wasn't it?
That's right. And see, my daddy, he was a shrimper.
Okay.
Commercial fishing and things
Okay.
And that was... This town... Oh, this was a seafood town. Oh, the fish and shrimp.
It was a seafood town.
Paper
mills came in.
Yeah. Paper mills came and killed some of the stuff out.
I see.
But you could get a bushel or half a bushel of stuff people would give you off those boats.
I see. Sure, that they couldn't sell.
They could sell them, but they didn't.
They just give
they would give them to people.
That's wonderful.
Now you have to pay for every scale.
Okay.
That's right.
Did you ever go anywhere in a buggy with your grandparents out of town? Did you ever go into other parts of Nassau County?
No. Only in car later years, you know.
Okay.
Riding down there where the plantation is. It was all blacks living there, that property.
That was the Harrison plantation.
And... we used to go down there, and I remember when it was nothing but a dirt road everything, so.
Did you ever hear your grandparents talk about slavery?
No.
No?
They never mentioned nothing but slavery,
and
so therefore I don't know whether the older people were slaves or not, but they never mentioned anything about slavery.
All right.
I know we didn't talk about it.
Okay. What interesting memories do you have about your grandparents, other than going over to visit with them and spending the night?
Well, I just had to go around the corner to their house.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, they were just, I don't know, just nice, kind people, and everybody out there in the old time. Now, the whites and the blacks, a lot of them mingle together.
Okay.
This was long years before integration.
Okay.
They all got along good together.
They got along good together.
They lived together good. They caught the whole city out there, people talk.
And everybody got along good out there. And if someone was sick, they were rushing right there. If they had something to give you, they were right there.
That's wonderful.
And that's the way it was, because when this integration came, when the children, white and the blacks, playing together day in and day out and down the hill in swimming, if they had an argument, the old folks, they didn't go out to see what was wrong.
Yeah.
Because in a few minutes, they were...
The kids had figured out
they
themselves.
They were playing again.
Yeah.
And down from that government hill... From that government hill, down the hill, is Fort Carlos, is that hill, they call it Fort Carlos. Well, down there, the sand was white, like beach sand.
Okay.
That's the way the sand was, and then it was a brick seawall. And we went down there every day to play.
Could you go swimming in there?
They could swim, but I was always afraid.
The current?
No, I was just afraid.
Okay.
Daddy took me out and I yelled.
Okay.
But I mean, and in the afternoon, the sun go down, the tide was high. There the bunch of the whites and the blacks all together going.
Well, they swim together.
Yeah,
swim together and everything. And some of the old ladies, they would haste their dress tail and they'd wade in the water. And then they used to build shrimp boats in the old time.
Okay.
The first out in a shrimp boat.
The first shrimp boat that was built in Ferndina was built in the
old time. The Danbury?
Oscar Danberg was his name. And Busy Biddle.
Okay.
And then later
yet. The third person
went there was Mr. Bill Rivers.
Okay.
And those three men, and then when time to launch those boats, when tide was high, and time to launch the boats, everybody in the hotel would gather around to see him launch
the
boat.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, those three gentlemen were black. Mm-hmm. They were black, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And Mr. Rivers, he lived in town, but Busy Biddles and Mr. Danberg, he were in the old town.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I have a question that asks you to reach back a little bit. Do you ever remember your grandparents talking about lynching or convict leasing?
No.
No? Okay.
No, they never mentioned anything
okay.
like that.
Okay. Do you remember back in those days anyone reading black newspapers? Your grandparents?
Reading the black newspapers used to be the Grit, let me see, the Chicago Defender.
Chicago Defender.
They used to get that. You know, man used to come around once a week to sell that,
okay.
The Chicago Defender. And I've forgotten now what kind of paper the Grit was, you know, but it used to go around selling that paper.
GRIT?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was there news of Nassau County blacks in the Chicago Defender?
No.
Probably not. You got national news about
mm-hmm.
blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's talk now about your parents.
My parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where were they from?
Right out. When my grandmother was pregnant with her first two children, an uncle and my mother, she went back to St. Mary's and had those two babies and stayed a month with her mother.
Okay.
And then came back to Ferndale.
I see.
So
okay.
My mother was born in St. Mary's too.
Okay.
But Daddy was born right out there in Old Town.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you know how they met and how they...
Catholics and the Catholic Church right there.
Okay.
Right there, playing together every day.
Was that St. Peter's Claver?
That's right.
Am I mistaken, but did they move that building? St. Peter's Claver is down next to St. Michael's now. Did they move the building?
No, this was a wooden... This church was wood.
Wooden.
And then after they stopped having mass in this church, the Catholics used to have dances there.
I see. Okay.
And then finally they tore it down. But now the house that was where the, we call it the priest's house, and some say the nuns stayed in the house.
Okay.
But in the meantime, the house is still in Old Town.
I see.
And some people staying in.
I see. So then they built a new St. Peter's Claver.
Uptown.
Okay.
That's right.
I see. Okay.
And
all
of course, right. The older ladies, they were making pies and selling homemade ice cream, pies and peanuts and shrimp and rice and everything. And we girls, you know, would go around to the houses, the whites and the blacks, and take their order for the stuff.
Okay.
And then we had to go to deliver it.
And collect the money.
We had the basket on our house delivering the stuff.
Isn't that wonderful?
And so then we finally raised enough money to start building this church down here.
And first they have a boardwalk to come to Old Town.
And then it was a boardwalk.
From Old Town to...
Annual Road.
From Old Town to...
You went down 3rd Street, right? They called it Merrill Hill. The people used to call it Merrill Hill. Then the Moss people live up on that hill. And you go down that hill and the boardwalk went all the way to Old Town.
Old Town.
Okay.
And then to Mr. Hall, where Container has its dock. The mill?
Yes.
Where they have their dock now was a shrimp house.
I see.
And the people used to go there and had shrimp. And then in Old Town, there was Mr. Davenport. They had another shrimp house where people went and had shrimp.
I see.
And Davenport, that thing that you roll on the track. Like if it was to the end, if it was, if it was to the end of the road, we want to go to the dock. We get on it and give it a push, and we go. Then whoever's coming from the dock can get on it and bring it back this side. And we just have fun with the thing. And so me and
how old were your parents when you were born? Do you know roughly? Was your mother and dad young?
My daddy, I think, was 21, I think. And my mother was a day after she was 18.
I see. Okay.
We had a church wedding in this church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. Go ahead.
They got married January the 31st, 1912. January 19th, 1913, I was born.
Isn't that something? Okay, well, you came right along.
I was the first grand on both sides.
Okay.
The McDonald and the Trail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What did your daddy do to earn a living?
He was a shrimper and pogey fish and shrimp. And he stayed in the river.
He was a fisherman in the river too.
Yeah. Okay.
And me too, along with him. Yeah, well, he was a fisherman.
Yeah. Now,
we made a living.
Okay.
My daddy fish together. My mama took me out of school. Okay. And I fish with daddy.
That's wonderful.
The young man.
Okay.
They helped take care of the family. And
she was nine of us children.
Yeah.
And
I was the second child. I made it too.
I'm the oldest, and he's next to me.
Now, some of the pogey fishermen used to follow the fish. They'd go
with North Carolina.
No, Dad, I can tell you about that. I'm a fisherman. I like to pogey fish too.
Okay.
See, the North Carolina fellows used to come down here on the boats and fish down in Old Town, a carpet factory.
Okay.
And when the Crin built the factory, they come in to fish the Crin factory.
Okay.
And then later years, Smith bought another big factory, and they come down there and fish the Smith factory in the summertime. In the fall of the year, you go to Beaufort and Moorhead City, North Carolina.
Okay.
And we go up there and fish in the fall of the year.
Okay.
Then we come home for Christmas and go back and fish another month.
You follow the fish around.
That's the way they did.
Was it pretty good money?
Yeah, during that time, you used to do pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you make what you catch a million fish, used to make about.
Okay.
Well,
how much?
$50 on a million fish, and sometimes the boats have 3 and 4 million fish on feeding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, how long would that take to get 3 or 4 million fish?
Sometimes you get that. In 2 weeks.
Is that right?
Okay. In 2 weeks.
So you're looking at maybe $100 a month, maybe?
You make a little better than $100 a month.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you make about $100 a month.
Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Now let's see here. Did your mother work?
No,
she didn't work.
She stays home.
Okay, she
had taking care of the baby.
Had nine kids.
There was nine of us.
Yeah, Now, back in those days when you two were children, were there concerns about race relations then?
Well, we didn't know about that.
We didn't have
about
no trouble.
The time we were living.
Yeah.
During the time we come up, it was about 50 families out there. And then I think it was 26 colored and then 24 white.
Wonderful.
And we all got along just like one.
Yeah. Our family.
They beat our house, we beat the house, and have radio. And my daddy and Uncle Charlie and them used to go out, and the first two had radio. That everybody be on our front and all in the living room laying on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Just had to be away and cut together.
Uh-huh.
Like you said before, if we have a little fight or churn, the old folks would do not work, but that next 2 minutes we'd be playing right on.
Figured out.
One nothing big, just a hit and slapping.
I think that's wonderful.
We eat each other out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we eat each other out, we got along good.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there had been more of that in this country, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling fellas before, you say, man, you're lying. I ain't lying, I don't know, but we got along good.
Okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about how your mother and dad were, what kind of education did they have?
Neither one didn't graduate from high school.
Okay.
Neither one.
Okay. Did they read a lot?
Oh, yeah.
You can learn a lot from reading.
From reading.
Okay. And you've already answered where they went to church.
Oh,
you
yeah,
were all
both
good
of them
Catholics.
Catholics.
Okay.
We are Catholics.
The oldest Catholic.
Okay. What did you and your parents do in your leisure time besides swimming up there?
Well, when I came out of high school, I did domestic work, and I help out with
sure.
the rest of the children.
Yeah, sure.
I did domestic work during that time. I worked for the Kellys, you know where the Florida House is.
Yes.
Well, those people are the Kellys that I was working for own the Florida House and the big house, White House, right next to it on the corner.
I see.
And I work in that house.
Okay.
In the big White House.
Plenty of work to do there, I guess,
and
wasn't it? Yeah.
Finally, in 1945, I left here and went to Miami to work.
Okay.
And I worked for a doctor and his family down there for 29 winters.
Oh, okay.
And they come up here and before brother move in, they come up here and spend the weekend just as big as if they were home.
Isn't that wonderful?
And the children always calling me. And the mothers, the father died about October, I think the doctor died, and he wanted to see me before he died, but I couldn't make it down there to see
him. Yeah, I can understand that.
So he died, and mother and the oldest son and the daughter, they were here for the shrimp festival. They came for the shrimp festival, and they spent the night here.
I think that's when you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. They're always calling me, you know, right on, and they keep telling me I'm family. Well, me and my husband, both, we stayed right in the house with them. We didn't stay out. And the children, at the end, she got jealous of me and the two boys. She said she thought the boys thought more of me than they did her.
Oh.
Well, I was there for them, and she wasn't.
Well, and that I'm thankful you were there for them.
I was right there for them.
Now, during your life at home with your parents, did you ever talk about the Civil War? Was that anything?
No,
you ever talked
never
about?
Did.
Okay.
That was never mentioned.
Okay. Or something called Reconstruction, do you know that period? Or how about what was called the Black Codes in Florida, the things people did to keep the blacks from voting and all that, any of that?
No, we never discussed nothing like that.
Okay. Mm. That's because everybody was getting along so well, I guess.
We were getting along good out there in Old Town. We were the Trier family was the biggest family in Old Town. It was. You know, the older ones and the younger ones, and it was more Trias out there than any other family.
Okay. Now, you spelled that for us before, honey. Did you
T-R-A-E-Y-E.
And that's a Spanish name?
It's a Spanish name. Our great-grandfather.
Grandpa Manny.
His name was Roman, but we called him Manny.
Okay.
And he was, you know, was Spam.
Okay. Okay.
So.
All right.
Is that a Menorcan name? Spanish Menorcan?
No, honey, no. The Menorcans weren't Spanish, dear.
Oh.
Did you vote? Did your parents vote?
Oh, yeah. We vote.
Did you pay poll taxes? Did you have to take any kind of a reading test to be able to vote?
No.
No, they didn't do that.
No, just went on.
Okay.
And vote, and I still vote.
You're wonderful.
But now, since I'm like this, I sent in an absentee ballot.
Okay. Well, anytime you don't have a ride to go somewhere, you call me. We'll be glad to take you.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave my phone number before we go. When you were sick, any of the family were sick, how did you receive health care? Did doctors come to the house?
Years ago, the doctors used to make house calls and come to you.
Okay.
Then finally, they cut that out, and you'd have to come to the office.
Okay.
And now that they have the hospital, you go to the hospital.
Yeah, okay. But when you were a young girl, they came to the house.
To the house to me.
Were they always doctors, or were they people that knew?
Doctors.
They were always doctors.
Always
okay.
A doctor.
Okay.
You called the doctor,
okay.
Doctor came. Now, I was in the...
How old is Dr. Humphrey?
Dr. Humphrey.
Dr. Humphrey.
He was coming to church, Dr. Humphrey.
And he's dead.
He was a good one.
And this old hospital out here was named after him.
Oh, on
Dr. Humphrey.
On 14th Street?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That was named after him.
I see.
And he was the doctor of Fernandina, Nassau County,
okay.
I would say. But now, see, in 1995, I was going to the hospital for stress tests. And my youngest brother was in Tallahassee. He'd been up there for 2 days. His youngest son was up there in school, and he died. And my brother, while I was getting dressed, he called me and told me that Harold was dead. And I said, he's not dead, because Harold just called me the week before. Because we used to tease one another about the money, because a lot of my mail go to his house right back here. And Harold would always say, his birthday is the 29th of January, mine the 19th. So he said I was going to get all the money, and all the money would be gone before his birthday. So Harold called me on my birthday, and we talked. And so I said, Harold, I said, the money is coming in. I said, I got a check for $100 yesterday. I said, but I haven't cashed it, just you get your share. That's what I told him that Thursday. The next Thursday, the boy was dead. And sickle cell.
Oh, gracious.
And 3 days before his 24th birthday.
Oh, that's terrible.
And
that's
so
terrible.
We
mine going too. Mm-hmm.
And, oh, he just loved people, period. You know?
That's,
and they say it was the biggest funeral they ever had in Fernandina. They said St. Michael's Church down there, cars had to park up by the post office. They couldn't get to the church. And I'm laying, and I had a, laying up on the table for the stress test, I had a heart attack.
Oh.
And the doctor told me I was threatening one. And they put me in intensive care. Well, Henry always said about me, so I had to call Jacksonville to call my sister. The nurse said, I asked for the telephone. She said, no telephone in here. I said, well, I have to get up and get to the telephone to let my family know where I am. And so she said, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'll bring the phone in for you to use, and I'll have to take it out. I said, well, you do that.
Yes.
I said, because if not, I'm getting up this bed.
Yeah.
And I thought, sure, I was threatening this heart attack. I was in St. Vincent, and they wouldn't let me out until that late that afternoon after they buried Harold. So I haven't been to his grave yet, and that'll be 3 years. He'll be dead 3 years, 26th of this month. I've been in St. Vincent 4 times, in this hospital up here 3. I have a metal stent in me, because I had the, what you call it, angioplasty.
Uh-huh.
At first, I was scared of open heart surgery, and then 6 months later, when I went for a checkup in Jacksonville, the doctor told me if I didn't have open heart surgery, he would only give me 6 months to live. And so I went on and had that. And then 3 or 4 days later, they put a pacemaker up here. So I'm all
you're all charged up.
And so the nurse and thing come here 3 times a week to check.
Yeah, she was here today.
Yeah.
Where are all your brothers and sisters now? I see one brother over here, but where are they all still in the area?
See, I have two sisters and two brothers dead. It's 5 of us living.
Okay.
My baby brother, he's right here behind me.
Okay.
Right here behind me. He's called himself the doctor because he has to tend to brother and do things for me too, you know. And he said, he's 62, he retired from the service for 20 years, and then he retired from container out here in July, and he and his wife have been doing for us ever since they retired.
Well,
and he said, when y'all was 62 years old, y'all didn't have all this work to do. Now me and Mary have to do all this work. But we have two sisters in Jacksonville.
Okay.
So I have two sisters and two brothers.
Oh,
he's next to me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful family life.
We didn't have no money, but we had love.
That's right.
We had love for one another.
That's what
it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all got along good together. Mm-hmm. We never had a big argument or fight or nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, just little one or two words, and that was it.
Sure.
Never stopped speaking or nothing. Yeah. Nothing to make us stop speaking. And that's the way it was when we were coming up.
Did anybody ever keep a diary in the family?
No.
Never wrote. Never wrote things down.
No.
Well, were you able to take vacations at all? And if so, where did you go?
No vacation.
Did you drive into Jacksonville once in a while?
Oh, we didn't even have a car. I never did learn to drive.
Okay.
And my husband had four cars.
Okay. Okay. Were any of you, your parents and you kids ever afraid of racial violence? Was there ever
no,
a concern?
No, never was.
Okay. All right.
Fernandina was a pretty nice town, you know.
Yeah. Everybody. Most everyone I've talked to says that, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah,
it
was nice.
I said earlier, it's too bad the whole country wasn't like,
it is here.
Okay. Did you feel that the law protected you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Did the law give you any trouble?
No trouble at all.
Okay.
Because we didn't do anything for two bothers, you know.
Did either of you know the knife lady?
The what?
Knife lady? Jackie was talking to me about the knife.
Oh, that must be talking about Mamie Perry, I guess.
I guess she was the one that cut the sheriff open?
That was Mamie Perry.
Mamie Perry.
Oh. Can you tell me anything about her?
Oh, God. We see her. All we do is say good morning or good evening and keep going. Because she was dangerous. That's right. I remember.
Was she married or was she...
If she was married, I never did know her husband.
Okay. But can you think of anything else she did other than cutting the sheriff open?
Well, she was a bad woman. She was a terror.
Yeah.
And so nobody, you know, we just say good morning or good evening when we passed by because we didn't know whether she was going to stick you with her knife or not.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can you tell me any of the things that she did that made you say she's bad?
Well, people were just afraid of her.
I see, okay.
I don't know what all she did. Everything turned around, they say she was out on the chain gang, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And whatever she would do. But we were just afraid of her, that's all.
Have you ever heard of the Oxman?
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit, well, how did he get his name? And
I don't know, but he had an ox. And he used to ride that little wagon and have his ox, and he used to live out here behind the ice house somewhere back out over there.
Did he deliver things for people?
Not that I know of.
He just rode around in his...
I don't even know whether he had a job or not.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did he behave himself?
As far as I know of, he did.
Mm-hmm. Now we talked about the knife lady and the ox man. Were there any other strange people around that did?
Not that I can remember.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay. Now, you were reading then the Chicago Defender and the paper called The Grit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you told me you grew up here in Fernandina.
Right up there in Overtime.
Okay. And your family, nine children.
Mm-hmm.
And can you describe the house you lived in? Was it this house?
Oh, no. This house was just built in 1988.
Okay.
The house was torn down out there in Overtime.
Oh, it was in Overtime, okay.
Out there in Overtime. And they had one of the outside of the house, what you call it. It had the...
A porch?
They called it, we had a porch all the way across the front of the house, but they called it the catwalk.
Or the widow's walk.
Or whatever kind of, down like that, you know?
Okay, okay.
And so that's where we were born and raised.
You all lived in that house happy?
They got it for sale now.
Oh.
And the land for sale.
Yeah,
the land is for sale.
Okay.
Tore the house down.
Then you mentioned you had lots of friends around, you kids.
Oh, yeah. Plenty.
How about your parents? Did they have lots of friends?
A lot of friends, too. Oh, yeah.
Many white friends?
White and black.
White and black, okay.
Yep.
See my daddy? My dad was a good man. Everybody loved my daddy. And we down the creek. If you come in the daytime for fishing, me and my daddy, We had a little dock, and I had a rowboat. My daddy had a rowboat. And then we come to get coffee and a sandwich, and we going to a rowboat to town to the market. My daddy had a number three tub on the dock, and he had a handful of that number three tub with fish before we go to the market. And then we probably going back to Herman. Did you leave any fish on the dock? They say, yeah, I'll leave fish down there. You'll get your pan and get your little mess for your family. And for the rest of people, hey, get some too. Uh-huh. That's where he was. Yeah, everybody was loving his mouth better.
That's wonderful.
Everybody
in the
collect,
like,
so nice to people.
Okay.
I had the flu. They'd come and bring me live chickens and soup and pudding and everything. And I'm laying up there in the bed, and they're sitting there, yakety, yakety, yakety.
You had a happy childhood, didn't you?
I did, and I have, and one white and one black told me that I would never be Herman. My daddy's name was Herman. His name is Herman. Told me that my daddy would never be dead as long as I was living. Because I had ways just like
him. Isn't that wonderful?
And you know, and out there in the old town, uh-huh. Everybody had too much, colored or white. And somebody died, everybody take a collection and help bury the people that didn't have no money.
That's
and
right.
Everybody white and colored get together and get money and together.
Share.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it was. Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's the way it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school? Did you both go to the same school?
Peck High.
Okay.
School, right.
Okay. Did you graduate from high school?
I graduated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Herman, did you graduate?
No, he didn't.
I didn't go to fifth grade, that's all.
I see, okay.
And my youngest brother, he graduated, and two of my sisters graduated from out there to Peck High.
So you learned to read in high school.
Oh, yeah. Catholic school first.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And can I ask you, Herman, when did you learn to read?
I can't hardly read enough.
You can't read enough?
No, I can read hardly.
Okay.
I'll tell you the truth, brother.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't, but well, I can figure it good every time, but I can't hardly read.
Yeah. Did either of you know an old gentleman named Hilton? Mr. Hilton?
Hilton? Lived out there?
Yeah, lived out American Beach. I'm trying
Stewart.
To think.
Hilton?
Hilton. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think.
Hilton Williams?
Williams.
Yeah.
Hilton Williams, that's
He's
right.
He's dead.
Yes, he is dead.
Yeah, he is dead.
I spent a lot of time working with him, teaching him to read.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And he used to call me the coach.
Uh-huh.
And he loved, I'm seeing your Jaguars hat here, he loved baseball, and got him a baseball cap, and he, now, I don't think he ever took it off.
Oh, for goodness
I think
sake.
He slept in it. He loved that hat. But Hilton Williams.
Hilton Williams.
He died around Christmas time 3-4 years ago, something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
He worked at the mill, too.
He worked at the container.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah. Where did you find things to read other than the paper?
Well, I was busy working, but I mean nothing but the paper, you know, and some books, just a few books, and everything like that.
Okay.
But I was always, I was a workaholic, if you want to know the truth. Around here in Ferndale, they didn't pay you anything to work.
Yeah.
Now, when I was working here in Ferndale, they were paying the cooks $5 a week to cook. Then, if you wasn't a cook and just cleaning and things, you didn't get but $3 or $3.50 a week.
And roughly what year was that?
That was in the 30s.
In the 30s, okay.
And so in the 30s and the 40s too. So a grand aunt of mine died, and I told my mother, I said, I'm going to New Jersey with Aunt Helen. And I went up there in March, and I stayed until July, and I came back. It was my first time away from home. So when I got back home, I told my mother, I said, Nilla, I said, this winter I'm going to Miami and see if I can find a decent job. So I wrote my grand aunt down there and asked her if I could come and stay with her until I find a job. And so she answered back and said I could come, So I went down there and I told my mother before leaving, I said, I'm going to try to get a job staying on premises. And I did. I was down there a week when I got this job. I was the top pay when I went to Miami. Was $35 a week. That was in 1945.
A lot better than five, isn't it?
Better than three.
Yeah.
So I stayed on premises when, with this doctor and his family. And I'd come home in June and go back in September.
Okay.
For 29 years.
Yeah.
And right now they call me all the time. The doctor, I told you the doctor was dead. The children call me all the time, the mother call me all the time. And they keep telling me I'm family. And they send me presents and things right on.
That's wonderful. Was that a white family or a black family?
Jews.
Jews, okay.
The Jewish people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All yeah, right. They're Jews.
Okay.
And
okay.
You
know, during this period you're talking about in the 30s, that was the Depression era.
That's right.
Yeah, and a lot of black people went north to get better jobs. Is that one of the reasons why you tried New Jersey?
Well, I walked from Old Town uptown to the Kellys to 3rd and 3rd and Ash Street for $3 and a half. I'd wear a pair of shoes in a week. And that wasn't enough money to buy shoes.
Oh.
And I worked for them for 10 and a half years.
Oh, gracious.
And that was all I was making. So I went on to Miami to my grand aunt. And then I got this job and I'd get off on Saturday night. The doctor would take me over I was on Miami Beach. And the doctor and the two of the children would take me over town on Saturday night, and then I didn't come back to the beach until Monday morning.
Well, you seem to have enjoyed that period, I
and
guess.
And the children, clung to me.
They're like your children.
Just like they were my own, the only thing I didn't birth them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's just the way they are now with me.
Yeah. Did you have children of your own?
Never had a child.
Were you married?
I was married. I got married in 46. I worked for this doctor and his family one season, before coming back home. And then when I came home, I got married and went back and my husband.
Okay.
But we were together going on 34 years when he died, because he died in 1980.
I see.
And so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so we never had any children. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, none of his sisters or brothers had any children. There's no children in his family.
That's interesting.
Not a one.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, let's see here. Did you have pets?
Pets.
Well, dogs, cats?
No, we never stayed one place long enough to have pets, you know. Oh, boy.
Were there any children around that your parents told you not to play with?
Not to play with? No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, they didn't do that.
How far away from home were you allowed to go when you were out playing?
Well, we're right around in Old Town, in the circle of Old Town, down the hill. Mostly we'd gather up and go down there and play in the white sand, and the brick seawall was down there. We'd sit on that.
Okay.
And everything.
Did you mention the Harrison Plantation? If you ever went down there, you went with your parents, I guess?
No, I didn't go with my parents. I went with a cousin. And I think I've been down there about 2-3 times, you know.
Did you have a car to get down there?
I was riding with someone else.
It was a car. It wasn't a horse and buggy.
Oh, yeah, a car. But you see, I remember when it was nothing but a dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, later years, my husband and I, we built a place out there on a mere road.
Okay.
Frederick's Luncheonette used to be to the waterfront.
Oh, yeah.
It had that neon sign up there.
Okay.
That used to be us. I was the cook.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. We talked earlier about the Seminoles. Did you ever hear any people in your family, grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, fathers, talk about the Seminoles and the blacks?
No.
Never did hear.
My great grandmother, my daddy grandmother, she had a little bit of some kind of Indian blood in her, you mm-hmm. know. So
I that's don't very know. Possible. Very.
She
possible.
Had some Indian blood in okay. her, and so okay. I was real young when she died. It was my grandfather on my daddy's side.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were babies born at home in those days?
Sure was.
And where?
And what? Of the nine of us, none of us was born in the hospital.
Okay. Midwives or doctors?
Midwives would come.
Okay.
Would get the midwife.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
did
right.
They were right in the community?
Oh, yeah. Some yeah. of them live in town here, and they'd come to Old
okay.
Town. And then
okay.
we had one lady out there in Old Town.
Okay.
And so they would deliver the baby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did your daddy keep his money in the bank or at home?
We spent it.
So he had nothing to put in the bank.
Okay.
We spent it. Like I was talking the other day, I said, we may not have had what we wanted to eat, but we didn't go to bed hungry.
Yeah.
No, you all had good food. How did you get the number? Plenty of food to eat.
We had plenty of food.
Yeah.
Didn't have to go to bed hungry, but maybe we didn't want this, but you ate it or leave
didn't.
It.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
During those days, they used to call it dinner, 12 o'clock in the day, and there was big pots of food, you
okay,
know?
Okay, okay.
And everything, so.
Did you go to bed pretty early in those days?
Well, sometimes we would sit up.
Just go to bed at 10 o'clock.
No later than 10 o'clock.
No. We'd come down, wash up, go to bed.
Play the role. We had a graphophone, and we'd wind it up. We had to take turns to play for Daddy, and then we'd get on the floor and dance, and Daddy would dance with us.
Oh, you had fun, didn't you?
So we really had fun.
Did you have a piano?
No, we didn't have a piano.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Well,
but
my grandpa had one.
But we had a lot of fun and okay. do the little things. And Daddy was a dog lover. Well, you know, we had pets when Daddy was home. We had dogs and things because he was a dog lover.
Okay.
One day it was raining, we couldn't go outdoors. We had the dog in the house. We closed the door. We got the baby. It was always some baby clothes.
We put the dress
on the dog, the cap, the booties on the paws. Put a diaper on the dog, push his tail aside, put a diaper on the dog, and put the dog in the bed. We put the dog in the bed, the dog laid up there blinking. And we had the door closed, and my mother and my father, they were sitting in the kitchen. I said, Daddy, come. I opened the door and said, Daddy, come here, we want to show you something. Daddy came, and he looked at the dog, and he got tickled. My mother, she came behind fussing. Get that dog out the bed. Oh boy, did she fuss. I told her, I didn't call you, I called Daddy. The dog was laying up there. I wish I'd had a snapshot of that dog.
Well,
and that's him, Neil, my nephew.
Yeah.
Daddy would be going to the boat landing. And we had this dog, Fluky. Daddy would tell Neil, said, Neil, get in the wheelbarrow. I'm going down to the boat landing. This dog would run and jump up in the middle of the wheelbarrow and sit right up there. Daddy said, Fluky, get out of the wheelbarrow. I didn't tell you to get in there. And do you know that dog wouldn't get out? He wiggled until he get to the side of it.
Yep.
Daddy had to ride both of them to the... That's right. That's the way that dog was.
Yeah. Oh, boy. When you kids were bad, you did something you shouldn't have done, how did your parents punish you?
My mama could come here slapping.
Daddy wouldn't beat you.
Daddy didn't touch you.
If he hit you, see, he hurt you.
Daddy said, if I hit you, I'd break every bone in your body. But he didn't hit us. She slapped you as quick as she slipped. Oh, God, I remember the first cigarette. A girl gave me two cigarettes. Another girl came by that Saturday night and asked me to go to the store with her, and I had these two cigarettes hiding. And I got the cigarettes and I gave her one and I took one. We went around the street to the store and she put hers out before going in the store and I left mine on the tree stump. Well, coming back, my daddy brother, Uncle Franco, he saw me. Really, you smoking? I said, no, and I stuck the cigarette under my coat and I burned a hole in my dress. And the next morning, I went to Mass, and coming back home, and I was passing my grandmother's house, a cousin of mine standing in the gate. He clapping his hand, girl was clapping, he was a devil anyway. Quack, quack, somebody going to get a killing this morning. Somebody going to get a killing, and the girl was clapping his hand. And believe me, honey, when I got home, my mama, I went to the store to get my breakfast. My mom slapped me so hard I left the plate on the hot stove.
Oh, boy. Oh. Well, you know, when you were kids up there in Old Town, do you ever remember anybody talking about the Epiphany Chapel?
No.
It was a chapel that the St. Peter's and Good Shepherd built up there for the seamen. They
no
tell way. Us they used to dance on the lawn. The seamen used to dance on the lawn.
Oh, see, years ago, of course, when I was big enough to remember, it was quite a few, it used to be quite a few churches in Old Town. Episcopal Church was out there, too.
Yeah.
And that was the only one, and the Catholic Church was the only two churches still standing.
Okay.
Now, one lady and her husband bought the Episcopal Church and built them a home out there, out the lumber.
Well, that was the had to be the Epiphany Chapel then.
Well, it could have been.
That was the only Episcopal church out there, but mm-hmm. they originally built it so that the sailors would have a place to go to church on mm-hmm. Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Probably so.
And they say
most of what did then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where were people buried back in those days when they died?
Boscobello Cemetery.
Okay.
Okay. And do. Now, people say, that I can't prove it, that it's a tunnel on the Old Town.
There's a tunnel?
Tunnel.
Tunnel.
Now, that's what people used to say.
Okay, where would that
I don't know, because that government house what we used to play in, you could go down some steps, but we were always afraid to go down there.
They used to store stuff down in there.
Okay.
We used to go out there and look around in there.
And, okay. And I don't know whether that would lead to the tunnel or what, but people claimed, and they said plenty old money is buried in Old Town.
Now there are plenty of treasures that dug out in Old Town. Say.
And now on the lot behind us, the lot belonged to us, but several mornings, several different times, we came out the house to go to school, and there's this big deep hole where they dug overnight.
Did they ever find any treasure up there?
We don't know.
We don't know.
No, the thing is, you know.
Yeah.
Out there by the cemetery, a girl found some old money.
On the side by the cemetery.
Some old
money. We grew from Old Town right there. But the little road we walked through, like a little cow pasture road. And one evening we had a field over for the Billy Road to go to Old Town. We used to plant a little garden right there side of the field. And me and my daddy went out there eating the water some tomatoes. I was a young boy, and he was coming back, there was an old white fella, an old T-Mall Ford, right by the little dirt road we come home in. And he tell my daddy, he said, hello, they find me. Daddy said, hello, and I said, hello, sir. And he said, tell me there's some nice people live out here. Dad said, yeah, it's fine people, it's fine out, and I've got y'all born and raised out here. He said, hey, tell me everybody getting along good. Dad said, that's right. He said, well, I'm going to put me a camp down, I'm going to put my tent in the night, and I'm going to stay here the night. You see, I'm thinking of your dad. See, sure, if you're ain't nobody gonna bother you. Sure enough, that man stayed there. And the next morning, me and daddy went to go to the field. He done had a double treasure there. He had them 2x3x6 or 2x6 built like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Bill. And a big one right off the top one from the edge. And he left the black and thicker there, you know, we pulled it up,
mm-hmm.
And it was but that long, the rust, if it had been in the ground, but 5 foot deep in the ground, the rust, he didn't cover the hole up, the rust, but that, they've been thinking, was that long, looked like it was about that wide, about, say about 3 feet wide, mm-hmm. and but that deep, and a rush around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have just—he's so glad to get a guess and get a bit, but he just put it and he put it on the truck and got a bit in there. Mm-hmm. And last one, going to the old fort from through Old Town, my daddy and used to hunt coons, you know, and just a saw. And our daddy, I was born, but I was about 10 to 12 years old, 13 years old. And I used to go hunt with dad and them. They came me, dad, one left field, a little new boots to go. It's a place on the right hand side going to the fort, they call it Willow Pond. And with playing time, be tired, we come back by the Willow Pond, make a big fire and sleep. Mm-hmm. Before we come home, don't kill the coon. And one time, it was a sailboat, a schooner, up by the old fort, things there. It was a two-master. It was about 100 and some feet long, but 125 foot long. And they stayed around there for over a week. And one night when we come back on coon hunting, they done been there and they dug two big treasures there.
Hmm.
Left everything there, and that thing was long, you know, rough, been the ground, half as big as a coffin. We didn't dig that thing out, you know, of the ground.
Hmm.
And up there by the Grave Valley there, on the hill, they dug one up there, two, one time, up there.
And you remember when Mr. Shirek had the chicken farm out there, his daughter, Wilhelmina, mm-hmm. dug up some old money out there by the Grave Valley Road. She dug up some old money. Yeah. They say the soldiers used to hide the money out there.
They
claim there's plenty of money
out there
in Old Town. Yeah. And then Henry had a letter from Gainesville, twice I think it was. They wanted to dig on our property out there in Old Town. So Henry said, I'm working and I'm not going to be there to watch them to see.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had these letters from Gainesville.
Hmm.
But he wouldn't let them...
Yeah, can't blame him.
No,
can't blame him.
That's right.
Let me see here if I've got anything else. When you and your family lived around here, did you have any fears at all? Were you concerned?
No.
About anything?
Now see, during those days, you could go anywhere from here to Jacksonville, leave your windows up, your doors unlocked, open.
Nobody
went in and bothered nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it was around
okay.
here.
Okay.
But now you've got to lock your door as soon as you get in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you didn't have to lock not one door.
Yeah.
You could sleep with that door open all night long and nobody bothered.
I wish we had those days back again.
That's yeah. true.
Yeah.
But the devil is busy now.
Yeah.
When did all that change?
Mm-hmm.
When did it change?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it probably changed when these old people start smoking
it
marijuana.
It changed after World War II.
After World War II. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Everything started changing after World War
uh-huh.
II. I just come from Louisiana. I've been living down there since 53.
Have you?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when you come in your door, you better shut the door behind you in the daytime.
Yeah.
I'm telling you not to be walking the door right behind you.
It's a shame that people have to live that way, isn't
That's
it?
That's true. Yeah. Can't
I
walk the street.
I lived right across the river from New Orleans.
Okay.
I lived there on Monroe Street.
See, his wife died, so he came back. Nobody, no family or nothing down there, so he came back, and
uh-huh.
I was the only one had an extra room.
Yeah. Well, you're nice.
So,
yeah.
In the meantime, different ones say, are you going to let him stay with you? I said, it's my brother.
Sure. That's right. Absolutely.
I say one for all and all for one.
That's right. Bless your heart. She's a nice lady, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She's a nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have that yellow book there. You were going to talk with me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this book, see, these are Spanish people, and I was looking for his picture, but I don't see it. And they have a bishop in here that I remember after he sent me.
What's the name of the book? Could you read that to me so it'll go on the... Okay.
Oh, maybe you can read better than I can.
Menorcans in Florida, Their History and Heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see.
And they spell Trey different.
Okay.
You're in Spanish.
Jane Quinn, and this was printed in St. Augustine in 1975. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking for how the family spelled the name in there?
And that I was looking for the man picture what sent me the book.
Okay.
I had it marked, and somebody took the marker out from me. Because there's a bishop in here that... Brother, you don't remember Bishop Hurley, do you?
No.
See this man standing up there? That's okay. The bishop to the bottom. That man standing up, he's the okay. one sending me the book.
Isn't that wonderful?
And so he wanted to know, wrote a letter and wanted to know, when did they change the spelling of the name Tribe? Well, they spelled it in Spanish when we didn't.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I guess you spell it the best way they knew how.
Sure. Okay. I was going to ask you, does the priest come by to see you?
Every once a month, the lady from the church bring the priest by, and then have a different lady every Sunday come by and bring us communion.
Isn't that nice?
And then they bring us cookies and cake.
I think that's wonderful.
And everything, and so in the meantime, Father Neil, he comes by with her, you know.
Okay.
And everything, so.
That's wonderful.
We.
You're a good Catholic family.
And.
Yeah, all our life.
And everybody, like one time after my daddy died, the undertaker said it was a prominent white man in town, said Herman family would never want for anything as long as he was living. So, but we never asked him who. So one day I wanted to pack a cigarette. I said, oh Lord, I need some cigarettes and don't have no money. I said, I should have asked Mr. Baptiste who was that man so I could get somebody to buy some cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes for 63 years.
My goodness. You're almost as bad as her.
The day before I had the heart attack, I had 5 cigarettes. I said, when I come from the hospital for this test, I'll stop and get me some more cigarettes. And I left 5 cigarettes on. And I haven't been able to smoke one. And there's... It'll be 3 years, the 25th of this month, and I haven't, if not a day passed that I don't want one.
It finally goes away.
This has been 3 years, and it hasn't gone away yet. I still want a Marlboro so bad I don't know what to do.
It's been 19 years since I've had one.
19 years since you had one? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And I don't miss it now.
Well, I sure miss mine, because... Every time I eat something, or something like this, I want to smoke. I smoke about 11 packs a week.
Oh boy. You mentioned Mr. Baptiste. Now, wasn't he the undertaker?
Mm-hmm. He was in with Huff.
Okay.
From Jacksonville. Mm-hmm.
Now, I read a letter he wrote. I read it a couple of years ago. He belonged to the Good Shepherd that was down the hill from St. Peter's. Do you remember anything about that church?
The little church?
Yeah, Lake is
called. It was a small church because we had Aunt Grace, she married to my daddy's uncle. She belonged to that church, you know?
Okay.
When she was living.
Uh-huh. I'd heard that during the Civil War, that church originally, I think, was built in 1858, just before the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
And it was down in the corner of what's now the cemetery.
That's right. Way down that
hill.
Yeah.
And they moved it a little bit up the hill because during the war they buried Union soldiers around the church, so that was hallowed ground, so they moved the... Did you ever hear any of that?
No, but I do remember, you know, that the little church that was there, you know, because I've been in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when you mentioned Mr. Baptiste, I know he belonged to that church.
Yes, John Baptiste.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me ask you, we'll kind of wind up here by, are there any things that you can tell me that don't relate to any questions that I've asked that you think are historical in nature about this area?
No, I can't think of a thing right offhand.
Okay. Well, then we want to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I didn't have much to tell
you. Oh,
you
had a lot. Wait till we write this all up for you.
Nice to.
Yeah, when you write, we write this all up and bring it to you, and you change.
Just don't put my name in it.
But don't put your name in it?
Why?
Well, when we write it up and bring it to you, you can change anything, take anything out, or add it.
Right.
And that's the way, then once you're finished with it, that's the way it'll be. But
yeah,
you shouldn't be ashamed of your name.
No. That's okay. You put it there.
I'll bring it to you in a couple of weeks. I'll call you and say that we have it typed up.
Yeah.
And we can, then you can take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And Friday, is it Friday, I'm going to visit with Neil's stepmother, Catherine?
Catherine. Her dad is the one I told you, Oscar Danbury. Oscar Danbury was a boat builder.
Oh,
he was the main one.
Oh.
He was the main man.
Okay. Well, that'll all come out over there, I guess.
See, and she called me yesterday.
Well?
And we talked yesterday. Okay. Her daddy, Oscar Danbury, was the one, the boat builder.
Okay.
And they lived in old times.
Okay. We'll remember to ask her about that. If you talk to her on the phone, tell her not to be concerned about this. It's just a just like we're talking today is what we're going to talk with her about.
Well, anyway, we talk all the time together, you know, and everything.
Okay.
And her daddy was the main builder, and she said her daddy, when he died, he was building the boat, or had just finished this boat, and she wondered, she was young when he died, and she's wondered, you know, what happened to the boat that he was building.
Louisville finished building it.
They did?
Yeah.
So in the meantime.
Yeah. Can you think of any senior black people in the community that I could talk to like I'm talking to you?
They all are dead now. I'm about the oldest thing around here.
Well, you're very nice. You're both very nice.
Oh, boy, I'm about the oldest thing around here now, to tell you the truth.
Well, with the spirit you have, you're going to last many more years.
I don't know. Sometimes I'd be hurting so bad.
And I've been through World War II, and I made it back home safe.
Good for you.
And the Mississippi.
Good for you.
I spent 2 years and 9 months over there. Well, 9 hours in Mississippi.
Well, you saw a lot then, didn't you?
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing. I tell you, I can't read, but I was a mess side and I had 9 cooks under me.
Well, I wouldn't be embarrassed about not being able to read.
But I had a good understanding. You
sure,
know?
That's
but
all.
I could fix my menus, I could read and write a little bit.
Yeah.
I could fix my menus, something like that, when you get on the field.
Uh-huh.
And I was always a good cook, that's why I got my rating. You know, all them fellas were old under me, they finished 12th grade and all that, and he was mad because I was the mess I had over there. And this is the first time I ain't baked my fruit cakes in 24 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, let's see if I can see.
Yeah, well, your eyes, you're going to be able to see some.
Yeah, I can see my hand right there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but I can't see the footing there.
Uh-huh.
Now, my brother Henry back here, he put in 20 years.
In the service.
He was out of the service. He went right from high school and put in 20 years, and he came right out before he was 39 years old. And
they call me the best fruitcake I've never seen in Louisiana. They call me the fruitcake man.
Fruitcake man?
Everybody. I should bake up in
him. And come telling me about how Lucille Ball smacked her lips on his bread pudding.
Well, Lucille Ball? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think you know when Lucille came out there using Muhammad Desert Benoulin, and Lucille and a Greyhound busload of them. And so I was a Napatan doctor fit, and they had our tent with this curve and there was 104 feet long. And I stand by and the fellow was serving, and this girl was in the table, and Lucille was next to her. See, I heard Lucille on the radio, I never seen her in person. And man, it was evil. And they got to that bread pudding, me and my first cook made it. She was eating some slices to go. I said, which one is Lucille Ball? She looked up at me like she climbed on top. She said, you don't know Lucille Ball? I said, I know her on the radio, but I ain't never seen her in person. Met her in person. She said, I'm Lucille. I said, well, I look at her. I said, I don't know when we started eating that much. I said, she said, yeah, but this is bread for you eat too.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
My special bread pudding.
Well, I bet you were a great cook.
I make my, I fix mine out of fruit cocktail and crushed pineapple.
Oh, boy.
And I picked the first time, the company telling them, they will never put no reason no more. Fix it that way. The best going.
Uh-huh. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have a cook in there.